This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Welcome to the Hotel Hell. Check-in time is now, check-out time is never.
It's Mike Shope.
Does my room have cable?
No. And the sheets are made of fire.
Can I change rooms?
Sorry, we're all booked up. Hell convention in town.
And the Bulldog.
Can I have a late checkout?
I'll have to talk to the manager.
You're not the manager, even in your own fantasy?
I'm the owner. The co-owner. With Satan.
It's Mike Shope.
Okay. Just so I understand it, in your wildest fantasy, you are in hell. And you are co-running a bed and breakfast with the devil.
And the Bulldog.
Yeah, but I haven't told you my salary yet.
Go.
$80,000 a year.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I'm guessing you can't hear it, but behind me all day outside, out the window behind me, is here at our big complex, of which we are a very small part. They're mulching. And I want to know the official name of the machine, because it's like they're shooting mulch in a controlled fashion. All these different pockets of the area all day. Every time I take the headphones off, step out, I hear this motor running, and they're just mulching away out there. Looks great. What kind of machine is that? It's like a truck with a flatbed, and I've got just endless amounts of mulch. It appears I just spent all day. Pretty impressive. Cody Carpentier, been a while, Cody, from Roster Watch, talking about the NFL draft, which we're doing every day, and I have no doubt that you are as well. Hi, Cody.
My show, my favorite.
Oh, buddy.
What's going on, man? I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you. Short notice. I just wanted to get some Cody going here with the draft now a little bit less than a month away. What do you think of this draft? Like a couple of sort of big picture points from you.
Well, I think in total, the running back position, the defensive tackle position, very deep with some top-end talent, running back a little bit more so than not. The interior offensive line group is a bit hit or miss. The center group leaves a lot to be desired. And maybe the most versatile offensive lineman, Gray Zabel, North Dakota State, who should play guard, might end up being the best center in the class. So it's deep in some spots and sparse and a few others, and maybe a little overrated at quarterback, but I think it's overall a B-plus draft.
Okay, and what about wide receiver, Cody? Not so much our fixation in Buffalo as last year it was. I mean, Keon Coleman, first pick of the second round, and he was the eighth receiver taken, so the whole league had an obsession with that class of wide receivers. This year, including Travis Hunter or not, how do you see, like, round one? How many guys are that interesting?
Well, I think the class overall, I really wish that Travis Hunter was labeled strictly a receiver, because I'll be honest with you, from a grade perspective, I have him as a top 10 graded prospect as a receiver and a top 10 graded prospect as a cornerback, as two separate things. And I think that's what makes him so special. So getting seeing as though we probably aren't going to get the full Travis Hunter wide receiver experience like we may – like we will for, you know, the guys like Luther Burden from Missouri and Tedrone McMillan from Arizona and so on and so forth. That's unfortunate. I think overall the receiver class is solid. We're looking at between probably 12 and 14 guys going on the first 2 days. It's just a very solid group, and I think the best way I can say it is it's a consistent group. It's something that you know what you're getting. You know, you read the tag in the store, and it tells you it's Oreos. It's Oreos. It's not going to lie to you. It's not wrong. You see, like, a Jaden Higgins from Iowa State. He's not special, but he's very solid. He's a very good guy after the catch, getting the ball into his hands, creating separation at the catch point, going up above guys, dunking on them. Trey Harris from Ole Miss, same thing. And Matthew Golden from Texas, who's got a lot of the conversation of late. He's not special. He's not a Jamar Chase. He's not a Malik Nabers. But he's very, very good.
I like that number, 12 to 14 by day three. I've seen that elsewhere as well. What about round one?
Round one, I think, if, you know, you obviously counted this one there. But other than him, Matthew Golden and Tedrone McMillan feel like they're kind of a ship passing in the night, where Golden is now the guy projected to go as, you know, as high as 12 to the Dallas Cowboys. And of late, we've seen the Tedrone McMillan from Arizona stock kind of fall down to the Ravens, the Lions, this kind of area. Tampa Bay has also been in there, you know, before the Godwin stuff came about. But those two guys for sure, and then probably one of Emeka Egbuka from Ohio State and Luther Burden from Missouri. I really do think that there's potential for a third running back here, and multiple defensive tackles that are maybe potentially overdrafted because of the strengths of those two positions, pushing potentially both Egbuka and Burden outside of round one, but at least one of them.
Okay. A three running back first round. Boy, just like old times. Genty, Hampton, how do you see it? Like, we've got a couple of teams here that seem really obvious, Cody, as teams that could or will take a running back. I think you have Dallas, of course, Vegas maybe, Chicago, some people think, Denver, maybe the Chargers, although less so since Najee Harris, I guess. So I think four that kind of scream out first or second round running back picks. You're saying you could see three in the first round.
Yeah, I think the main ones that I kind of look at, I know a lot of people are bringing up the Chicago Bears, and it's definitely warranted, but that spot for me has always made sense in round two, where you do have a DeAndre Swift there that's connected to Ben Johnson. I think that round two spot for, like, a Caleb Johnson from Iowa makes a lot of sense. But as far as the first round landing spots, I disagree with it. The Raiders seem to be going that direction. You look at the history of John Spytek in Tampa Bay, Pete Carroll coaching in Seattle. Both of these guys, long track records, has only been one skill position, quarterback, running back, receiver, tight end, that they've done in the first round. And that was, of course, Pete Carroll drafting, of course, the San Diego State great Rashad Penny, who's also a Mountain West running back. It looks like that's going to be where the Raiders are going with Ashton Genty. And then I circled the Denver Broncos and the Pittsburgh Steelers there at 20 and 21. Sean Payton's made a big point that he wants to go get this Joker-type player. That's not Evan Engram, who he just signed from Jacksonville. I think it's Travion Henderson. I think that's the third running back that's in the conversation. And then between the Cowboys and the Pittsburgh Steelers and a couple of others late in the first round, I think you look at that Amari Hampton landing spot. So that's kind of where I come away with three. I would bet the books are probably at two or two and a half. I haven't looked. I don't think they're released yet, but that's kind of where I'm sitting.
Okay. With Cody Carpentier here on the West Her Hotline, I'm Mike Schoep. Bulldog is off this week. These guys, like, there's a lot of love for this running back class, and you're right there with it. Would it be nice for fantasy, by the way, Cody, if these guys go in round one and then we can trust for their teams to use them like they've made a significant draft investment, as opposed to more like what Atlanta did when it drafted Bijan Robinson, he's in a timeshare. So love to see that. You want these guys to go to those teams because those are the ones where you'd expect that to be most likely.
Yeah, and I think that's, sort of with the Bears thing we're talking about a second ago, a lot of people want to write in the Genty thing to the Bears and kind of say, well, he can be the Gibbs, or he can be the whole three down back, or he can do this, he can do that. Well, you got to remember, Genty's only 5'8", like 211 pounds. And you have Swift there, who's literally the same build, is a better pass catcher. Why wouldn't a bigger build fit into that backfield? So I think that's a spot that could honestly, not neuter per se Ashton Genty, but pose a threat for, you're talking fantasy football overall, like running back 1, 2, 3, where a Hampton or something could land in a Denver, or a Hampton lands in a Las Vegas, or heaven forbid he lives in a Dallas Cowboys. Like, those are spots that they could definitely vault up past Genty if we're going to have that conversation.
Heaven forbid. That's you. Is that you talking when it comes to Dallas?
Yeah, the Dallas thing is so interesting. Going to get Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders kind of shows us that, they have a first, a second, a third round pick, no fourth, and they have 3 5th round picks. To me, when you go out and you get a Javonte Williams and a Miles Sanders for pretty cheap, they got legs left. These aren't 28-year-old backs, right? This isn't Najee or Melvin Gordon or Zeke like they did last year. It kind of tells me that they're going to push this thing or maybe kick the can to like the 5th round, where that is truthfully where the density of this class is at, where you can get a Damian Martinez from Miami, or you can get a DJ Gibbs from Kansas State potentially in the 5th round, somebody with real juice that could come in there and compete for real reps with Dallas. And for fantasy football, like you said, it's a very annoying backfield.
Mm-hmm. Cody, with respect to the Bills, so James Cook is coming off an 18-touchdown season, and that's not even including playoffs where he scored more. Incredible for a guy that like wasn't getting goal line looks and only scored 2 rushing touchdowns the previous year. He is talking about a new contract, and that is yet to happen. So I guess there's some outcome where he's not around. I doubt it, though. Where would that leave them in terms of running backs? Like, is he somebody for you? Would they have also Ray Davis from last year and Ty Johnson, where they wouldn't need to draft somebody? I'm excited about the idea of them drafting one anyway, just with how much talent it sounds like there is, how many injuries you get, whether that's round 4 or round 5 like last year. I'd be excited if the Bills did that.
Yeah, I think the James Cook contract, him wanting one, makes sense. Unfortunately, Saquon just kind of, did a number on the market for the running back group this year, this offseason. I like Ray Davis, but he's closer to 26 than he is 23. I figured, I didn't know if you're going to bring up running back today after the Darrington Evans signing.
Yeah, well, I always seem to forget him. I forget Evans when it's running backs, and I forget Curtis Samuel when we're talking wide receivers. But it's right not to. You're right.
No, but in reality, no, I really do think that running back is a direction that they'll probably take, probably in that 4th to 5th round, 3 5th round picks, 2 4th round picks. I don't foresee the Bills using any of those the early capital where it should be expended towards, defensive back and defensive line, if you're asking me. But I do think you look in that 4th, 5th round, potentially if like a Cam Scatabue falls in the 4th round. I'm not quite sure where he's one where I have questions about his draft capital, projected draft capital out of Arizona State. Everyone remembers him from the college football playoffs. Bashal Putin ran a 4.32 from Virginia Tech. Adds a different dynamic to the backfield, kind of similar to Ty Johnson in that way, with a little bit of that bruiser like Ray Davis brings to the table. Would you say today you would feel Buffalo would be more towards re-signing James Cook? Because I feel like he's still got 2 or 3 years left in him. I know he's slighter than Dalvin Cook is, but I just remember how Dalvin was so prolific around the goal line. And with Josh Allen aging out, it feels like that vision has been passed upon from Dalvin to James, and it feels like it's a good fit in Buffalo.
Yeah, we'll see if Allen chooses to run less as he gets older. That hasn't happened yet, and he's still in his 20s, so I wouldn't assume that. But I am expecting something to get done with Cook. I mean, He tied a franchise record for rushing touchdowns. They went to the AFC Championship, and everybody's throwing money around like crazy now with, again, the cap continuing to really climb. So I don't know if he'll get to his apparent goal of $15 million a year. I think that's closer to crazy. But I don't think 10, I don't think 10 is crazy for how the for the trends we've got in the league now. I guess I would predict that's where we end up.
Yeah, I would definitely not click that 15 button. But if it was somewhere around 10 or 12, I think that fits a lot more where James Cook fits into the whole realm of running backs in the league.
You know what you've got. And in terms of fantasy so far this year, he goes at around running back 14. I doubt there's really any concern about him not playing or anything like that, but more just expectations that that touchdown number will come down maybe significantly. With Cody Carpentier, you mentioned defensive line. Let's get to that. That is easily the most commonly mocked position to the Bills at pick 30. We hear Kenneth Grant a lot. We hear Walter Nolan a lot. Are those players for you, if and maybe you have a preference, the styles are a little bit different, but are they for you players who are likely or are they maybes to be available at 30? Let's start there.
I think so. I think that they're likely to be there, but like I said a minute ago, when we're talking about the receivers, the defensive tackle grouping with those two included, they're currently in box. Their ADP is around 22 and 27, so it's a couple spots ahead. You also have Derek Harmon there from Oregon, and you also have the track record of Brandon Bean, where he trades up for Kyrie Elam. I know that didn't quite work out. He trades up for Dalton Kincaid 2 years ago. Last year, he trades down twice. They might have to do that. They might have to move up 3, 4, 5 spots to go and get the guy that they specifically want, because I know Minnesota's sitting there at 24, looking directly in the eyes of the defensive tackle position. Green Bay's at 23, doing the same thing. That wouldn't surprise me. My preference would 100% be Kenneth Grant. He's a guy that should be getting a lot more top 15 buzz than he is. When you go and just watch the tape, he's the most underrated guy of that defense the last two seasons, counting the national championship season. You know, Mason Graham gets a lot of the conversation, but Kenneth Grant is the stalwart, the stone, the run stopper of that defense. It's something that can really enhance a defense where you view maybe a Walter Nolan. He's kind of a slider three technique that, you know, gets after the passer, but isn't quite as good in the run game as Kenneth Grant.
So that's a good outcome for you, Grant at 30. That's what you're saying.
Well, I would love Grant at 30, but like I said, I think with the track record of Brandon Bean and moving where up. I think Kenneth Grant's stock is trending,
yep,
you're probably going to have to move up 4, 5, 6 spots for him.
Before I let you go, Cordy, let's talk about the quarterbacks. You said, how'd you put it? Maybe overrated at the top. So last couple days with Miami's Pro Day, and I'm eager to hear your take on this as well. The private workout today more and more sounds like Cam Ward at 1 to the Titans. And that would put the Browns and the Giants, Browns first, in a tricky spot there. I mean, a couple of great non-quarterback options, it seems, and then also Shedeur Sanders. What do you think happens at the top?
You know, I think the Cam Ward thing comes to fruition. I know Abdul Carter, the edge rusher from Penn State, has been tweeting out some cryptic stuff about being the best player in the draft, so on and so forth. But when you are in a situation like Tennessee, like Cleveland, like the Giants especially, given Daboll's situation, Joe Shane's situation of skipping on Jaden Daniels last year, you just have to click the quarterback button if you believe in prospect. And truthfully, nobody really knows if they believe in the prospect other than themselves. It's one of the great stories that Eric DaCosta with the Ravens kept to himself for the longest time, was that nobody in that building knew they were taking Lamar Jackson the year they took him. The difference is, this is the first and third pick in the draft. Cam Ward deserves it more than any of these guys. But maybe the most pro-ready is Shedeur Sanders from Colorado. You know, a lot of people like to dunk on him and stuff, but there's nobody in this class that has gone through more, has learned more, has lived through more, and has a better support team behind him. And from a mental standpoint, a mental capacity standpoint, Shedeur is the strongest in the group. The interesting point, I think, comes in at QB3 with, we named three teams there, Tennessee, Cleveland, and New York, who badly need quarterback. And I just wonder if Jackson Dart from Ole Miss is the one that is reached for, or not really taking the top 10. I know there's some mocks coming out this week with that, but you know, does a Cleveland Brown or a New York Giant team trade into the 20s to get a Jackson Dart, something like this? Because I'll be honest with you, everything after Cam and Shedeur Sanders to me is where I say the whole class is overrated at quarterback.
Okay, Milroe too. Those same teams, of course, pick at the beginning of the second round, but I think Seattle could be interesting for Dart. I think they're 18 with what they've done, and, you know, maybe the Steelers too. So that's always the way with the draft. It's the risk you take or don't take, those teams, you know, passing on quarterbacks in the first place. I'm not the analyst you are, far from it, but I'm so excited about Travis Hunter. I mean, you talked about him a little bit already. New England with Vrabel, who played a little bit of offense as well as defense in his day, if it matters. Are they like an exciting, intriguing anyway landing spot for Hunter for you, or maybe someone else?
I think for you, me, and the rest of the fantasy community, New England is the best possible landing spot for Travis Hunter, because Christian Gonzalez is there. He's a former first-round pick that everyone loves. They just signed Carlton Davis to a three-year deal. Carlton Davis is a good corner that was in Tampa, played at a Pro Bowl level, went to Detroit, didn't quite, and now he's getting another chance in New England. So Travis Hunter doesn't have to be forced out to play corner. He'll play it, but it's not something that he'll have to do most when on offense he's going to be so far and away the best receiver on the team that we may get, you know, there may be some value, especially in fantasy drafts with Travis Hunter, because like I said at the top, if you cut Travis Hunter up into two different prospects, a corner and a receiver, he's a top 10 graded prospect at both positions. His ball skills are out of this world. The way he moves, his athleticism, his catch radius.
What does it take to improve maternal health for everyone? It takes a new model of care for mothers and babies. It takes deeper connections in patients' communities and comprehensive care before pregnancy and far beyond. It takes Philadelphia's only hospital exclusively dedicated to women and families to reinvent maternal health care and improve outcomes for all women. It takes Temple Health.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with Bolt Cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrier freedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The way he attacks the football is something special. And New England is definitely the best possible landing spot for all parties involved.
Very good. Cody, thanks for your time today. Hope we can talk one more time maybe before the draft in a month.
Most definitely. I always appreciate it, Mike.
Thank you. Cody Carpentier, Roster Watch, joining us here on the West Her Hotline. The idea of, yes, for fantasy, Cody knows his audience, at least in terms of myself, a team, like he said, where it's wide open. Good point on the corners they have, too, at receiver, maybe is really what you'd want. And an interesting young quarterback in May, the Patriots. But the idea of the most exciting college player going to New England, the least exciting franchise, in my opinion, I don't know. Tennessee gives them a run. Even Jacksonville, I guess even Cleveland, you know, like the options in the, go figure, the worst teams. But the options in the top five, you're not great. Would love your take on, if you're really into the draft, what you think the Giants should do at three, given the possibility that the two, everybody's top two quarterbacks go 1-2, which is possible. Like the Browns could punt it. But if they don't want to risk that and they just take Sanders after Ward goes one, where does that leave Dable? Here is a guy, maybe with Joe Shane, both going there from the Bills, of course. Here's a guy that everybody seems to think has to win, which puts them at a disadvantage. You don't really want that. The Browns don't have that. The Titans don't even really have that. They can take their time. I mean, the coaches, the organization is in a different place. The Giants feel like there's this pressure this year to win. So that can change the calculus of what you're doing in the draft and in free agency. And right now the Giants are at Jameis Winston. He can be fun. But of all quarterbacks in the sport, almost ever, where a coach like needs to win games, as loath as everybody is to turnovers, that guy, like, I mean, Rodgers even would have, I'm not sure that's even in the window anymore, but at least he's not going to throw picks, right? Like, if you need to win 10 games to save your job or something, and your quarterback is Aaron Rodgers, all right, well, how much better can they expect to do? Winston, more upside, but man, that will be a lot to deal with if, you know, he plays, I don't know, he's probably not going to play the whole season. What do they do, though? I mean, if they can't get to the top two, is it one of these quarterbacks that Cody tends to think is overrated, that most people, I guess, who cover it think are really not necessarily worthy of first-round status? Anybody but Dart and, I guess, a little bit Milroe. Nobody's being talked about in that context at all. So they could be in a jam. 803-0550 for your calls. You want to talk about the Bills options? Been through a lot of different things today, a little bit of Sabres, a little bit of baseball. Love to hear from you and talk about some of this stuff with me today. Bulldog is off. Pre-game for Sabres and Senators coming up at 6. This is Mike Shope on WGR. Right now, we're looking for our fifth caller at 716-221-4WGR. That's 4947. Caller 5 wins a pair of tickets to see Disturbed with Daughtry and Nothing More. KeyBank Center, week from Friday, April 4th at KeyBank Center, courtesy of Live Nation. Where is this show? Get your tickets while you still can at Ticketmaster.com. Missed this earlier. A couple hours ago, Mark Maskey, Washington Post, tweets, "The NFL Competition Committee, barring a last-minute switch, is likely to propose moving the spot of the touchback on kickoffs from the 30 to the 35. The league and committee have discussed that modification to attempt to further boost the rate of returns." Rate of returns. Okay. I guess they're serious about it. You know, they did make a major change to the look of kickoffs last year, and I guess they didn't get enough of what they wanted, more returns. So they're going to make it 5 yards more penal, moving the touchback. They're not moving the kickoff line. They're moving where the ball will go if it's a touchback from the 30 to the 35 after it had been the 25. More points. More emphasis on returners, even more than last year. We had a little bit of progress in that area, not a ton. That was an interesting discussion last year, the teams that in the end really just didn't bother. Fine, you can have the 30. but we're not risking a kickoff return. I mean, a big return is obviously a big play, and it makes sense in that sense why teams would just not want to take the chance. Other things can happen on a kickoff return, though, that are good for the kicking team. Turnovers, penalties, right? That seemingly always there flag that maybe you didn't have as much of last year because, I mean, they're just you didn't have players running all the way down the field, but blocking the back, holding calls, you get the ball out to the 30 on a return, but instead you're starting at your 9. And that's on the return team to be able to avoid, but the occasional turnover, penalty leading to bad field position, or you just get a stop because you've got a couple of guys on your coverage team that are superior and can, you know, make those plays. It's, you know, anything that brings in more strategy, I would probably expect to like. And this is going to do that. Now there will be more used to what the kickoffs look like, which that was an adjustment. But moving from the 30 to the 35 is this expectation. 803-0550 for your calls. We've got the Sabres and Senators tonight, pregame coming up at 6. They're going to do a roundtable down at the arena with Brian Koziol, Pat Malacaro, and Paul, talking about the season overall. I just want to tell you, because, you know, here we are late in the hockey season, and we don't need to go over, like, the Sabres' position in the standings or really all of that. It's kind of too depressing. All of it, and Bulldog and I have had these conversations, all of it has made it really hard for me to, like, just plug into it all, what to do about the roster, Lindy, Adams, just the whole thing. And even like bringing this up, I think is, I don't know whether it's risky or not, but it's just so sad, right? Like that they've managed another year where you're getting into like that final dozen or so games and they're almost dead. I mean, they're all but dead in the standings. And, right, no other team in the conference so much as just, like, so far back, so little time left. I mean, you've got 62 points. Philadelphia was 65. It's last, you know. It's really just it. It's last. And I don't know. I feel like in terms of how I feel as a fan and also, you know, keeping your interest, giving something that you might find interesting to listen to, With this organization, it's just become, my instincts are just always pushing me away from it. That, okay, Dylan Cousins, that was a big move. And, you know, I don't blame the Sabres for doing it. Hopefully they didn't get a player back that has, you know, kind of serious injury status that will take that away from us in Norris. But it's premature to think that way. I'm not assuming that either. I just know that, you know, that's part of his story, and it's been that since the trade. It's just, you know, what can they do about it? What do we want them to do about it? What I want them to do differently is spend. That's really what I want from the Sabres. I want to feel like ownership is, you know, into this. And it's one thing to be told, as we are, that Terry Pegula is interested in the roster and active in conversations and all these kinds of things that, I don't know, that doesn't have to be a good thing. But I would, perfect world for me as a fan of a team, I want my owner invested like that. And, you know, hopefully we'd all draw the line differently. Where the line is between I own the team, sort of where my boundaries are in terms of decision-making. I know ultimately anything can be up to me, but I wouldn't want all of it to be up to me if it were actually me in that role. I'd want to, you know, employ people who are more qualified. So that's kind of it. And I would anyway, some people would say different. You want ownership. I would want ownership to be engaged, but as opposed to just completely distant, but also sort of know what, you know, I don't need to weigh in on, that kind of thing. But then also provide the maximum amount of support financially to the operation. And you know, we've had for most of our lives with the Sabres these questions about, oh, well, you know, how much money do they lose and what they can't do. It's always almost always been about what they can't do. And I feel like with Pegula, with due respect, that was supposed to have changed. It's a long time ago now. But the idea was that it was no longer going to be about what they would not do financially. And now I think it so clearly is. And so, I mean, I'm waiting for them to luck into a good season, a good group that can happen when you don't spend to the max. I mean, we've had lots of those in sports. You kind of want to fall into that. It's possible, but it's just that much harder for me to buy, no pun intended, to buy into when they have self-imposed these kind of limits. And that has the effect, I mean, the important effect of players and your reputation around the league and the whole thing about who wants to play for you and who doesn't. So there's my contribution. I'm not on the roundtable tonight, but I think that is such a dead end. If they're closer, then you sort of live in the season and you talk about the line combinations and you talk about who's in goal and who's playing whom tonight in the standings, and you have all of that, but we're kind of like in a realistic way deprived of that. You could still, I'm not saying you shouldn't care about it, but it's hard for me to do the day-to-day thing with them when the season's kind of over. So what I want to do is move to the bigger picture and just find that to be like, okay, sure, maybe. It's kind of the best I can do with it. And that's how it was. Really was like not for as much as money was always a topic with the Sabres, like in the Dom years and then Regier from that on into the, you know, right to 06-07, where we weren't so worried about the team is sold then. We're not so worried about what they're not spending. Then we are again when Briere and Drury leave. For as much as money has been a part of their, like, identity as an organization, here we're at a point where, I don't know, they just can't seem to be able to escape from it. And by other means, with those self-imposed limits, find a way just to even compete for a playoff spot most of these years, which is really astounding and depressing. But, hey, I'm not telling you how to feel. Going to the hockey games, I'm going down there is fun. Tonight's another night to do that. Dylan Cousins back. Ottawa's having a good season. Play spoiler, all the rest. And you're not officially out, even though it's so remote of a possibility. 803-0550 to comment. Pregame for Sabre Senators in 20 minutes. This is Mike Shope on WGR. As we continue, you might have heard it throughout the day, but I'll just say it once myself. Tomorrow, 3 o'clock, I'll be at Roswell Park. The kickoff for the Ride for Roswell tomorrow. If you're participating, come and get your stuff. There'll be a social scene there. I'll be on with Sal throughout the day tomorrow, and Chris Trapasso, who, if that wasn't enough, Chris Trapasso is on our show every Wednesday to talk about the upcoming NFL draft, will join us on site tomorrow afternoon at 4. So maybe we'll see each other. And, you know, there's the Twitch and the YouTube, probably, and, you know, the whole radio aspect of things, the app. How can you miss us? Dan is with us now. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
So I kind of wanted to piggyback on what you were saying about the Sabres and what we're looking for as far as, like, you know, the future here.
Yeah.
First of all, I'd like to see, you know, our owner take accountability and actually act like we're in the league. I'd like to be able to think that we're playing by the same rules as all these other teams out there. And our owner really, outside of that first couple of years, and I realize he's not the best speaker in the world, but outside of those first couple of years, you know, we really haven't heard a whole lot from him. You know, even going back to the LaFontaine stuff and all that stuff that was going on back in the day. So a little accountability and make me feel like he cares as much as I do is
right.
The first part of this.
Bottom line.
The second part of this is I really think this team needs a star player. I love Tage Thompson. I love Peterka. but I don't think they're star players that other teams and other players in this league, you know, respect enough that, you know, they're fearful of us on the power play. That's our biggest thing. We're not bad 5-on-5, but we got a lot of grinders out there on the power play. And I just think they need a little more creativity, especially on that power play, because they just, they're all over us on the power play. They know that we're going to panic with the puck and throw it somewhere else. So that's kind of all I have to say. I'll hang up and listen. I appreciate you taking my phone call.
You're welcome. Thank you, Dan. The power play has been abysmal for 2 years, and even a coaching change didn't fix that. A lot of the same players, but really almost is mind-boggling how they haven't been able to figure out a way to get to even like the middle of the league. I mean, Dahlin is a star, and Thompson is kind of almost a star, right? He's borderline, maybe. I don't know. Like, the idea of doing that this offseason somehow, if they're not going to, like, spend up, then that's tough. I mean, how do you get those guys only by really drafting them or a lucky trade? Or, you know, he's somebody else's problem. You maybe have that happen. But what I'm worried about, maybe we'll get to the offseason and this won't be maddening or anything, but what I'm worried about is just the re-signing the guys that they did, perhaps partly because or largely because of the challenges they even admit having faced in free agency and attracting talent. Again, I've said this a few times, like it constricts what they'll be able to do to the roster. Like, you've got most of your team already under contract. They had four, I believe, and signed three of their pending unrestricted free agents, Zucker, Greenway, Bryson, and they have Reimer, and that's it. And, you know, he had a nice game on Sunday. I could take him or leave him. You know, he's the backup goalie. Levi's going to get up here at some point, so I'm not even sure that's relevant that you have him, and then it's nobody. So I guess it's good in a way that you don't have to worry about losing guys for nothing, but, man, I mean, it would be so hard for the Sabres to operate in a way where they could actually sort of smartly add pieces to their roster that, you know, without it being like the worst thing ever for these players to have to play for the Sabres. It's just like they've almost sort of, it's stronger than I want, but surrendered here. And, you know, Zucker, fine. McLeod has done well. Like, the ads have been pretty good, I would say, mostly. They've just sort of limited how much more they'll be able to do this offseason by, you know, basically mostly running back a team that's last in the East. So that in itself will make it hard to get enthusiasm up. You know, here's Dan saying add a star player, that would help, but not easily done. And really, mostly over these years, the Sabres' problem has been down the line in their lineup more than up top. And they've had plenty of stars here and have just gotten nowhere. It's baffling. I want to see the same thing from Pegula. You know, the bottom line, the caller said it great. I know what this is to say, but you want to feel like he cares as much as you, right? If he could show his face and, like, yeah, this is just sort of be real about what 14 years without the playoffs, by far an NHL record, actually what that feels like. And do we need to hear him say it? There are times when I want the same thing Dan does, you know, just let me in. The Senators are in town with Dylan Cousins. They're having a pretty good year, likely a playoff team, big game for them. Ottawa at Buffalo, Brian Koziol, Pat Malacaro, Paul Hamilton take over, and we'll host the entire pregame show tonight, have a discussion, probably some of the things we've been talking about here for the last 15, 20 minutes. We will find out together. I'll be at Roswell Park tomorrow, as I mentioned, with Sal starting at 3. Talk to you then. Enjoy the game tonight. This is Mike Shope on WGR.